Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was, I feel like I have to say ladies and gentlemen after that, because that was so incredible. That's the music of someone whom I have known for a very long time. And I just learned that he died recently. I believe in 2019 is when he passed away. And he is André Gagnon, a French-Canadian composer, instrumental pianist. I think he may have composed some songs that have lyrics. I'm not sure, because there are lyrics on this album. This is the very best of André Gagnon, this album. I guess I should drag it down here or something so we can see it, but I really would like to play some more of this for you, because it's just incredible to me that if you haven't heard it yet, what have I just done? That was, I just clicked on this, it didn't come up. Am I even rolling? I'm rolling, okay, good. So, this is the very best of André Gagnon. Album 2001. It's a channel JJ5989. I don't know what else is on that channel. I'm just so you know, I'm not familiar with that channel. But for some reason, this must have just popped up on my YouTube list, you know, and I recognized immediately who it was. I've known him for a very long time. This music that I've just played, and most of what's on this album, possibly, is music that I've never heard, because I knew about André a long time ago, and the music that I knew that was by him was phenomenal. It was really, really incredibly great music, but I had no idea that he was capable of composing this music here that we're listening to now. I had just no idea. So let's please listen to this a little more here. Little children, if you will. This is, to me, it's unbelievable. I've got to be quiet and listen.
Thank you.
that was where I listened, or stopped listening anyway. I wasn't listening before I listened to it this time. I played it, but I wasn't consciously listening. But I listened all the way up to this point without really consciously listening until now. But that's André Gagnon, a quite unbelievably talented composer from Quebec, Canada. And as I said, I've known about him for a very long time, probably the late 70s, I think, is when I first knew about him. Maybe even in the mid 70s, actually, possibly. Yeah, it's very, very possible. When I was still in high school, I may have known about him. I believe I did, actually. So 1975, possibly, or even maybe earlier. But I don't know when his first album came out, but I can find out probably right now, maybe. I'll look it up. What's his first album? I think it might have been his first album that I was listening to all those years ago, but maybe not. Let's see. No, it was this other one. Okay. Whatever it was, whatever number it was, I think it was this one here. Let's see if we can find out about it. I wonder if he's got a Wikipedia page. Wow. He was born in 1936. Oh, he died in 2020, at the age of 84. Yeah, so 1975, that's when the album came out, Neige. His album called Neige, which means, well, one meaning, I mean, it means snow, doesn't it? I think it does. I don't know. Okay. Let's translate. It's plural, though. It looks like to me that the name is, it means snow, but it's the plural of the word snow, which is still snow in English. It doesn't change to snows, but it could. But we don't consider the plural of the noun snow as snows. We consider it as snow. It's still snow, even if it's plural. So neige is the word he used was plural. The word for snow in the plural. That was the name of his album. The one that I know. The one that I knew. And when I look, I'll show you the picture if I can get it again. Here it is. Yeah. Let's drag it. Here we go. This is the picture of him that I saw on the album that I listened to. Let me see what that looks like. Oh, you're not seeing it. Okay. Right. That's the picture. And that has to be moved also. Hang on. This has to be moved also. Okay. There we go. That's the picture. That's the picture of André Gagnon that was on the album Neige. And his album called Neige is the one that I first heard about or first listened to, and that's the only one I ever knew by him was Neige. But that's not the only record he ever made. What happened to the other? well, history, I guess. We can go here. Wikipedia. His discography. He had quite a few albums. Prior to Naish, he had all these other albums. Now I've got to listen to all these albums. I mean, he's unbelievable. I've heard of him, obviously. I feel like I've never heard of him. He's unbelievable. What a talent he is. I mean, I know he inspired me. I know he affected my own writing of song, my own songwriting. I know that he did. And now we're going to, little children, I would like to turn to today's study, even though it's very early in the morning. It's November 27th, 02:52 hours, and this is Ward Green, as you may know. And I am hoping to conduct our study before I go to bed so that I can not be under any pressure to get up at a certain time. But it occurred to me yesterday, too, that David was the king of Israel, but is it not true that he was, that David himself was really a songwriter, even more than a king? He was more of a songwriter than he was a king, because of all the songs that we're finding that he wrote. I mean, Solomon didn't write any songs. David wrote all of these songs that we're reading. We read 41 of them for starters, and then we read a few other psalms by some other writers, and now we're back to reading David's psalms again. He wrote all these songs. He's a songwriter, even more than a king. That is completely, I don't know what the word is, unexpected, I guess, or unrecognized by the majority of people in the world. They don't recognize David as a songwriter. I mean, who does? I mean, I've never even heard of that idea. I'm thinking of it, and I'm the first one that I'm aware of who's ever thought of it. David is a songwriter. He's not a king. Obviously, he was the king, but he was more of a songwriter than a king. I mean, he was a great warrior, a very great warrior, and a great king also, to some extent, apart from his misbehavior, his bad behavior, of course, terrible behavior, in some rare instance, a couple of instances when he did things that were terrible, but he was repentant about those things that he did wrong. He was humble, but I mean, he was a great king, apart from those wrong things, I guess you could say. So he wasn't really the best king of all, but who doesn't make mistakes anyway? He was a warrior, a king, and a songwriter, but the songwriter part is the most impressive thing to me. To the director, I know what it's like to write a song. I know how difficult it is to write a song. I know how difficult it is to write a song. It's not easy. It takes a lot of dedication. To the director, do not bring to ruin of David Miktam, when he ran away because of Saul into the cave. Do not bring to ruin, it's called. Psalm 57, Jehovah our Father, let's pray, children. Jehovah our Father. Excuse me. Help us, Father, to appreciate this information and to remain in your love and in union with you, but of course in union with your Son, Jesus Christ, because through Jesus we have the approach to you, so that our union with you is really through your Son, Jesus, who is the mediator of our relationship with you, and he's the mediator of the new covenant, of course. And we pray that you would help us to be wise, to learn more wisdom, and to study your word, with eagerness, to that we would learn, that we would wish to learn, that we would be eager to learn about your ways. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. So, Psalm 57, it's not too long. What is it? Only 11.
Shorter than I thought.
Well, it's even shorter than I thought, although I looked at this number of verses prior to this, prior to just prior to the study here, but haven't read it, haven't read the psalm recently. Not that I'm aware of, anyway. If you're asking how much we should study the Bible, well, you can study it as much as you want. But one thing you should be aware of, there's usually no way to go back. Once you study the Bible, you learn how good it is, or it's very possible you're going to learn how great this thing is, this book called the Bible. And once you learn how great it is, you're going to want to share it with everybody, and you're going to want to become an evangelizer. And that's the warning, really. It's a warning. You need to be aware that even though there's no limit to how much you can study it, be aware that it may well change your life in such a way that you'll never be able to go back. And that might very well be the biggest blessing you've ever had. But if not, you know, it's really something to be aware of. Because it may not be, you know, in your intentions, you know, it might change your life in ways that you didn't anticipate, you know, and didn't necessarily wish to have your life changed in those ways either. So please be prayerful, take a prayerful attitude about it before you begin studying, and then, you know, you can study as much as you want. Show me favor, O God. Show me favor. For in you my soul has taken refuge, and in the shadow of your wings I take refuge until the adversities pass over. I call to God the Most High, to the true God who is bringing them to an end on my account. He will send from heaven and save me. He will certainly confuse the one snapping at me. Selah. God will send his loving kindness and his trueness. My soul is in the middle of lions. I cannot but lie down among devourers, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and whose tongue is a sharp sword. Oh, be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. A net they have prepared for my steps. My soul has become bowed down. They excavated before me a pitfall. They have fallen into the midst of it, Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Do awake, O my glory. Do awake, O stringed instrument. You too, O harp. I will awaken the dawn. I shall laud you among the peoples, O Jehovah. I shall make melody to you among the national groups. For your loving kindness is great up to the heavens, and your trueness up to the skies. Do be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. That was Psalm 57. Here's the theme again about the ones who excavate a pitfall and they fall into their own pit. Verse 6. This is the theme that David keeps repeating over and over and over in his songs, it seems like. He keeps repeating that people who try to trap other people, they fall into their own trap. That's the theme there. That's the most noteworthy thing I see in this psalm, but there's a lot of elements to it, I would say, about David taking refuge in the shadow of Jehovah's wings. What an image that is. The adversities Jehovah brings to an end, the adversities in verse 2. Oh, I'm very sleepy, so I guess I better not carry on here. I think I'll not. I mean, we read the psalm, and I think that's plenty, more than adequate, actually, for what we're doing with that psalm. Now, what happens with Isaiah 37? It's long. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. This is the longest chapter in Isaiah, possibly. 38 verses. It's talking about Sennacherib. I believe. It's talking about Sennacherib and what happened to the army. Excuse me. Let's see. Yeah, I'm just about to fall asleep here in a moment. But it won't hurt to read it. I mean, if we can get it done here. I think what I'll do is I'll play the remainder parts, some part of the remainder of the album. If I can click on it. There it is. But we'll turn it down to a low volume. So, I don't think you're going to be able to hear me if I don't turn it down lower than this. Well, I can turn it down. Yeah, I can turn it down. I think that'll be low enough. Okay. Isaiah 37. We recall in chapter 36 of Isaiah that the servants of Hezekiah had come back to him and told him what the words of Rabshakeh were, and the army of the Assyrians was standing outside the gate. And it came about that as soon as King Hezekiah heard, he immediately ripped his garments apart and covered himself with sackcloth and came into the house of Jehovah. Further, he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the older men of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the son of Amoz, the prophet. And they proceeded to say to him, "This is what Hezekiah has said. This day is a day of distress and of rebuke and of scornful insolence, for the sons have come as far as the womb's mouth, and there is no power to give birth. Perhaps Jehovah your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his lord sent to taunt the living God. And he will actually call him to account for the words that Jehovah your God has heard. And you must lift up prayer in behalf of the remnant that are to be found." So the servants of King Hezekiah came in to Isaiah Then Isaiah said to them, "This is what you should say to your Lord. This is what Jehovah has said. Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard with which the attendants of the king of Assyria spoke abusively of me. Here I am putting a spirit in him, and he must hear a report and return to his own land, and I shall certainly cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." After that, Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that he had pulled away from Lachish. Now he heard it said concerning Terheka, the king of Ethiopia, "He has come out to fight against you." When he heard, he at once sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, "This is what you men should say to Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Do not let your God, in whom you are trusting, deceive you, saying, 'Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria.' Look, you yourself have heard what the kings of Assyria did to all the lands by devoting them to destruction. And will you yourself be delivered? Have the gods of the nations that my forefathers brought to ruin delivered them, even Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the sons of Eden that were in Tel Assar? Where's the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and of Iva?" Then Hezekiah took the letters out of the hand of the messengers and read them. After which Hezekiah went up to the house of Jehovah and spread it out before Jehovah. And Hezekiah began to pray to Jehovah, saying, "O Jehovah, the God of armies, Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, sitting upon the cherubs, you alone are the true God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You yourself have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Jehovah, and hear. Open your eyes, O Jehovah, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib that he has sent to taunt the living God. It is a fact, O Jehovah, that the kings of Assyria have devastated all the lands and their own land, and there was a consigning of their gods to the fire because they were no gods, but the workmanship of man's hands, wood and stone, so that they destroyed them. And now, O Jehovah our God, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Jehovah, are God alone." And Isaiah the son of Amoz proceeded to send to Hezekiah, saying, "This is what Jehovah the God of Israel has said, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib the king of Assyria, this is the word that Jehovah has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion has despised you. She has held you in derision. Behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem has wagged her head. Whom have you taunted and spoken of abusively? And against whom have you lifted up your voice? And do you raise your eyes on high? It is against the Holy One of Israel. By means of your servants you have taunted Jehovah. And you say with the multitude of my war chariots, 'I myself, I shall certainly ascend the height of mountainous regions, the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I shall cut down its lofty cedars, its choice juniper trees, and I shall enter its final height, the forest of its orchard. I myself shall certainly dig and drink waters, and I shall dry up with the soles of my feet all the Nile canals of Egypt.' Have you not heard? From remote times it is what I will do. From bygone days I have even formed it. Now I will bring it in, and you will serve to make fortified cities become desolate as piles of ruins, and their inhabitants will be feeble-handed. They will simply be terrified and ashamed. They must become as vegetation of the field and green tender grass, grass of the roofs, and of the terrace before the east wind. And you're sitting quiet, and you're going out, and you're coming in, I well know. And you're exciting yourself against me because you're exciting yourself against me, and your roaring have come up into my ears. And I shall certainly put my hook into your nose and my bridle between your lips, and I shall indeed lead you back by the way by which you have come. And this will be the sign for you. There will be an eating this year of the growth from spilled kernels, and in the second year, grain that shoots up of itself. But in the third year, sow seed, you people, and reap, and plant vineyards and eat their fruitage. And those who escape of the house of Judah, those who are left remaining, will certainly take root downward and produce fruitage upward. For out of Jerusalem a remnant will go forth, and those who escape out of Mount Zion. The very zeal of Jehovah of armies will do this. Therefore, this is what Jehovah has said concerning the king of Assyria. He will not come into this city, nor will he shoot an arrow there, nor confront it with a shield, nor cast up a siege rampart against it. By the way by which he came, he will return, and into this city he will not come, is the utterance of Jehovah. And I shall certainly defend this city to save it for my own sake, and for the sake of David, my servant. And the angel of Jehovah proceeded to go forth and strike down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When people rose up early in the morning, why, there all of them were dead carcasses. Hence Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, pulled away and went and returned and took up dwelling in Nineveh. And it came about that as he was bowing down at the house of Nisroch his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his own sons, struck him down with the sword, and they themselves escaped to the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon, his son, began to reign in place of him. Well, that event, that's the end of Isaiah chapter 37. That is, of Isaiah. But that event, when Sennacherib was killed, that occurred when Esarhaddon took the throne, which might have been as late as 681 BCE, which is 30 years after this other event. So he returned and took up dwelling in Nineveh. It says in verse 37, but it doesn't say how long he dwelt there before he was murdered by his own sons. But it looks like, from the chronology that we have established through much research that I have established personally, but with the help of many other people who have done research, of course, through my referencing of their materials and using their work, but I've had to make many different choices in my own analysis of this information. But the 14th year of Hezekiah is apparently, based on my own research, it's 711 BCE. And the first year of Esarhaddon is 681, so it's 30 years later. But there is a possibility that Esarhaddon began to rule in the year 695, and I talk about that in at least one of my publications too, which you could get by searching my website. You could find that. But it's still a long time after.
It's still
many years later that Sennacherib was murdered in his own hometown, but by his own sons. But there's nothing in the scripture here that says that he went and was murdered immediately. I mean, there's no contradiction. There's nothing in the scripture that says that he was murdered the same day that he returned or anything. It says he took up dwelling in Nineveh. That sounds like he lived there for some time, possibly. So it's perfectly consistent with the scriptures. With the prophecy that he would, in verse 7, return to his own land and fall by the sword in his own land. So, this is quite a remarkable chapter of Isaiah. We'll talk about it again some other time, I think, because I'm very sleepy right now. And I didn't read perfectly, but I never do, generally, read perfectly. But this is a very, very demanding chapter to read at any time, whether one is wide awake or not. There's a lot of dialogue here that's intended to be quite emotional, apparently, and quite intense. So I think I did adequately well. Hopefully I didn't read it terribly wrongly or anything, and that I got the words mostly correct. And hopefully I didn't, you know, make any major errors or omissions or anything. So this is Ward Green. I'm going to end our study, I think, now, because it's very late. Oh, wait a minute. What am I doing? Where did the previous song end? Here. I think I better sign off without the music in case it's too loud and I wouldn't be able to hear myself, possibly. That was the music of André Gagnon, and this is Ward Green, and that was the Psalm of David, Psalm 57 and chapter 37 of Isaiah. And I'm stumbling over my words because I'm falling asleep. This is November 27th, 2022. It's 03:18 hours, coming up to 19. And this is Ward Green saying, have a great day. I hope you do. And thank you for joining us, and be praising Jehovah by the things that you choose to do in your life, and may you find wonderful music throughout your life, and may you experience the beauty of a magnificent life through the goodwill of Jehovah and his loving kindness. And I love you, and I am saying goodbye for now, and good night.